officers have referred to you the dangers of trying to cross the border of Venezuela. It's just a few examples that happened to her in a short time. These are things that I know to be fact. One young man recently trying to cross the border was raped by several hucksters. Those are people who are involved in white marketing. And he was found in the river, dead. One person trying to go through the jungle was found recently, torn up by a tiger, also trying to cross the border. Also, the people around those areas are very immoral and cruel in that Venezuelan border as you cross it. I saw some of these people take a bull and throw it off on its back and whip the bull to get up when they'd already broken the back of the bull and it could not get up. This is something for you to consider. She felt it ought to be brought to your attention. Continuing. I suggest that Peter be taken off of teaching for the good of the community, the children, and himself. There's enough of a social democrat in me that I thought it compassionate that you allowed him to continue teaching. I no longer think so. I realize why I identify with him. It is because he is a sexual addict, in the same way I am a drug addict. There are several factors about drugs, cure rate, yet I myself, as Jim's saying, I believe that if he proves himself enough in an area, and certainly Teresa King has never made one effort. She says she's an addict. This is from Teresa King, but she certainly has kept good control. But I do think it's called for a great period of time of Peter doing what she recommends. She says, once an addict, always an addict, latent, if not practicing. And also, to stay off it cannot be available. To stay off of it because it cannot be available. Addicts have no willpower. That's what it means to be an addict. My mom is very grateful to you for getting me off drugs. She said when the bad publicity started, anyone that could get you off drugs is okay by me. She recognized this as a miracle. So this means you put me off from my old contacts. Put me under constant observation. You kept me busy, worked me hard enough that the relaxation meant taking a nap, not looking for drugs. I can see from my reactions to coffee that I'm not cured. I hate to admit it to you because you have so much willpower, but I do not trust that I could be off of it if it were available, and that is pathetic because I'm grateful to be off. I never would have been without you. I was and still am a perfect sap for the capitalist pigs to exploit. The only thing that lies between me and that is the structure you have given. This is a beautifully honest letter from such a beautifully honest worker and dedicated as she is to help so remarkably with interpreting the news and helping me with the historical background, adding to news that I give. I say Peter needs that too. He needs to always be away from children. He needs to be around adults. I think the work crew would be perfect. Something strenuous like the wood crew. And give him a chance to learn how to work with adult males. That's where much of his problem is. And it will tire him out enough to put him to sleep at night. That, I think, needs to be permanent. I do not think we will ever be able to handle young boys, that he will be able to handle young boys, in the same way I couldn't be around dope and stay off dope. It's on this Saturday is the most refreshing and honest kind of letter I've seen in some time. I think it's unfair to him and us. I know he's a good teacher, an excellent one, but this will force someone else to step forward. We still have much undeveloped potential, much undeveloped potential. Let it be encouraged. I didn't know Debbie Brakey at all, but you said she had been an addict and was hooked by the CIA in Georgetown. If she had been on a work crew in Jonestown, she might still be a socialist today. Quite true, my dear, quite true. And she did work in the field for a while, but someone called her into the radio. I don't remember who. I thought it was essential for her. Unfortunately, we are now busy in radio, some of us, I am now busy with something that has to get done, and it doesn't give you the opportunity to get in the field as much as you like. But I know what it does for a person. We used to have water bucket brigades every day, which will come again as we enter in the dry season. I'm looking forward with the utmost to the time when I'll have a lot of physical involvement. I'm writing this because I think you do not understand such weakness of the will, because you are so different. You control your will. I think you may need reminding because of the dangers of putting such people into situations they cannot handle. I accept that clearly from Teresa King, and I want everyone to listen to it and then vote on the matter, and the brother to vote on it too, so that he can see what can be done about this. Water report. We requested the water as much as we can. We've tested the water as much as we can with the stuff available here. Bacteria are gram-negative, non-motile, alkaline reacting, and sulfur forming. The sulfur is what makes the bad taste and smell. We don't know what it is for sure. It could be Bacteria, coli, C-O-L-I, Frundi, F-R-E-U-N-D-I-I-R, para, coal, P-A-R-A-C-O-L-O, bactrum, B-A-C-T-R-U-M, intermedium, R, salmonella, pulorum, P-U-L-L-O-R-U-M. We do not know definitely. We do know definitely, however, that it's not staph, strep, typhoid, paratyphoid, pneumonia, R, H-L-C-A-L-I-G-E-N-S, fecalis, F-E-C-A-L-I-S. It's, bleach is not thought by Pauline Groot, who wrote this up, to be of long-range answering. I suggest we put a screen to see if nothing gets into the well and dies, and she suggests certain kinds of fish. She said bleach is okay as a temporary solution, but not a long-term solution. One of the problems is a dead animal would get down the well. Bleach won't solve it. I recommend putting some kind of fish down the well that will eat dead things that would fall in, that will keep the water cleared on a continuing basis. We should consult Marie Rankin on what kind of fish to use. Also catfish to clean the bottom of the well, snails to clean the sides, and fish that eat algae to clean the water. If we don't have polywogs in the well, they eat baby mosquitoes. Very well, we want that acted upon too by the administrators. Each of these things I'm giving to you tonight, this Saturday night, I want to act it upon. I wish I had the words to express my gratitude for everything that you have done for me. Bobby says my legs were so badly broken that the doctor said I wouldn't be walking for at least a year. But thanks to your dad, I'm now on crutches in just a few weeks. And I'll be off of them in a month's time. You made sure I had the best medical care possible. Nowhere in the world does there exist a man, such love, I gather, that exists, and stand by. What's in a person of such great love and concern as the love you've given us? Thank you, Dad. Bobby Stroud. Someone is thanking us for the great October Revolution that we celebrated today. Rebecca goes on to say how the miracle a prophecy I gave 10 years ago came to pass, just as I said years later that I gave her. I appreciate the honesty on the karate team. We'll take that matter up in private counsel that was written. We shall discuss that, as I say, at a later time. It's important that all of you do well on your testing. I mean, on your study of the language, because there'll be a test coming up maybe tomorrow evening. Our people's rally, which will likely be Monday, because we were having our people's rally on Friday. And you will be required, and I want the inspectors to go around now the homes to see that no one is there. If they are in their homes, they have to be put on public service. You will be getting the half-day tomorrow. The half day will come tomorrow. You can't always depend upon it, but it will be tomorrow. It will begin at the normal time. So you will arise at 6. Only it'll be 6 hours. You arrive 7. You work 7 to 1. 7 to 1. That's the time that I've got to watch very carefully. I can't really afford a whole day yet because production is low. Anybody that has extra time, please donate to these dolls at Kay's project or other projects they have underway. 7 to 1 will be the work schedule tomorrow. Then spend your time beautifying the area. Keep the place tonight very clean because the head of the cultural program for the entire nation of Guyana is coming in late tonight with our musical talent. He'll be a guest for a day. We want everything to be look as spick and span. Around the basketball area, it's very essential that there's something to be done to level out that dirt. It is an eyesore. And we've got to see that is changed. We can't have any eyesores because we are known for our cleanliness and our high standards of concern. So we will expect you all to work on that immediately. See that we get rid of the eyesores. 90% of the major ones are caused by heavy equipment, says several people who've written to me in the suggestion box. Tearing into the land. Latest one was done when they put up a light pole to basketball court. The area about 75 foot square was torn up. Deep gouges left in the ground by the heavy equipment. The damage was not repaired. As a result, the park-like basketball area is now a major eyesore. We suggest the following, this sort of heavy equipment use, that a crew be sent to restore the land. I want that done tomorrow, and the fence affected areas off so vegetation can go back. Fence affected areas off. In other words, so vegetation can go back. This is done, the land becomes more permanently ugly. Be sure that's taken care of tomorrow, as I said. Seeing you a little later in the evening. Thank you. Much love.
October 22nd, Sunday News. Rhodesian white racist forces, many of them train soldiers from New Mexico, USA, have attacked 12 black liberationist bases deep inside Zambia, killing at least 3,500 citizens, innocent civilians. A military communique said that Rhodesian forces, empowered and emboldened by U.S. hardware, as USA hypocritically lifted the ban of economic and military aid just a few weeks ago to this racist regime, have also ended an attack on bases in Mozambique. They destroyed a number of innocent civilians there just a few days ago. And that the troops have been withdrawn from both there and Zambia. The Rhodesian announcement followed a statement by the Patriotic Front leader Joshua Nkoma that Rhodesian forces had attacked more of his camps in Zambia following a raid on Thursday near Lusaka. He indicated that fighting was still going on. He said his forces had shot down 7 Rhodesian aircraft. Salisbury communique said the Patriotic Front group said the attacks were against 3 major guerrilla bases, as they always call the people who really the land belongs to, and 9 satellite camps of the Patriotic Front. But of course the Patriotic Front is Zimbabwe, or as the white man prefers to call Rhodesia. It said the deepest penetration by Rhodesian forces was some 150 kilometers northeast of Lusaka, Zambia. The communique said the activists, liberationists, killed a number of uniformed people, mercenaries, sent in by the Ian Smith regime. But the Rhodesian government made no hesitancy in claiming that they wiped out whole villages and cities. Rhodesian statements said that in Mozambique, Rhodesian forces struck several bases, cities, villages. It gave no estimate of the casualties. Negotiations on Israeli-Egyptian peace treaty are suspended while chief Israeli delegates return home for consultations on a revised American draft treaty. The Israeli cabinet meets late Monday to hear a report from Foreign Minister Moshe Dayan and Defense Minister Weitzman on the draft treaty. Mr. Dayan told Israeli television the talks have run into difficulties over the question of linking an Egyptian-Israeli peace to progress on settling the West Bank issue. He said another problem is the pace of establishing diplomatic relations between Egypt and Israel. President Carter met separately with both delegations Friday for the second time this week. Two chief Egyptian negotiators planned to remain in Washington, but a third negotiator went to London. Report to the visiting vice president of Israel to report the results of the visiting vice president of Israel on progress of the talks. An official spokesperson for the negotiations called the consultations an interlude, not an impasse, and said they were natural at this stage of negotiations, but they thought it was just so much rhetoric in most parts of the world as the sellout at Camp David summit between Israel, Egypt, and USA just could not resolve the Near East problem when other nations' lands were involved that had been taken illegally by Egypt. U.S. Defense Department officials said early today, that Secretary of Defense Harold Brown met separately with Israeli and Egyptian delegations to discuss matters of mutual defense interest. In another development, U.S. Envoy Harold Saunders is in Jerusalem for consultation with Israeli officials. Earlier, Saunders visited Jordan and Saudi Arabia. Syria's president will go to Baghdad next week for his first visit to Iraq in 5 years. The surprise trip will come just before the opening of an Arab summit to discuss the Camp David Accords. An official Syrian source declared that the president's visit is to coordinate possible joint moves to confront an Israeli-Egyptian peace agreement. Both Iraq and Syria stand opposed to the Sadat sellout peace initiative, but their different views on other Arab issues have made them rivals over the years, but this has drawn them closer together. Observers have speculated that Syrian president's trip may mean a warming of relations between the two nations, including an opening of their mutual borders. Friendship comes out of U.S. deciding to be too expansionist in the Near East. As you know, rumor has it USA planned an imperialist air base in the Sinai region. United States Secretary of State Cyrus Vance has arrived in Moscow for what could be a decisive round of negotiations on a new Soviet-American strategic arms accord. It is hoped that in 2 days that both sides will be able to overcome the handful of problems that continue to block a new agreement and to build on the progress achieved earlier this month in the talks in the United States. Reaching a mutually beneficial agreement is of utmost importance to both sides. Vance has warned that perseverance and dedication are needed. Earlier, a senior American official said Soviet-American relations are now enjoying an upswing. He said ties had clearly reached a low point earlier this year. Over the last month or two, relations had crossed over to the positive side. Two former members of the Maui cabinet have been sentenced to death in Bonaco, B-O-N-A-C-O, on charges of plotting to overthrow the government. They are the ex-security chief of Interior Ministry, the ex-security chief, rather, and the Ministry of Interior, Minister of Interior. The former transport minister was sentenced to 20 years of hard labor, and the ex-foreign minister received a 5-year prison term. The group was arrested yesterday. The president of Somalia has urged the Soviet Union and Cuba to change their policies in the Horn of Africa and in what they call, he called, threats and aggressive moves against the people of Somalia. The Somalian leader spoke as he reviewed a parade of more than 100,000 persons on the 9th anniversary of the military overthrow, a coup that brought him to power. He praised the United States, Western Europe, and China for giving his country economic aid in his imperialist expansionist designs on Ethiopia. United States representatives at the ceremony said he expects to discuss the possibility of military intervention and aid to Somalia in their aggressive designs on the Ogaden and in Eritrea. Sudan says it will leave its units attached to the Arab deterrent force in Lebanon in place for another 3 months. The Sudanese president said Saturday he has decided not to pull out the Sudanese troops, as announced earlier, because of decisions taken during a meeting of Arab foreign ministers in Beirut last weekend. The foreign ministers came up with a security plan for Lebanon that went into partial effect yesterday. Syrian troops of the inter-Arab force are being withdrawn from East Beirut to be replaced by Saudi Arabian units of the same Arab force. The disengagement is intended to reduce a point of friction with the Christian fascist militia in Lebanon, and Lebanon's prime minister held a cabinet session this Saturday and announced afterwards the formation of a special ministerial committee to implement, that is, to add to, other measures recommended in the security plan. It also called for rebuilding the Lebanese army, disarming the fascist Christian phalangist militias that Israel had set up, and strengthening the central authority. News reports say that the situation in Beirut has returned to near normal following Friday's disengagement. The Lebanese president has left for the Vatican to attend the inauguration of the new pope. Students at 2 Tehran universities staged peaceful protests Saturday, demanding the release of political prisoners and an end to martial law. Students were urged to boycott classes until the demands are met. Police outside the gates of both campuses, but students stayed inside as clashes occurred between the two. The dreaded Shah of Iran, one of the richest men, whose government is in great peril because he has had to establish martial law. He imposed martial law on Tehran and 11 other Iranian cities last month after bloody anti-government riots in which many students took part. Iran is quite nervous as they border the Soviet Union, Afghanistan, and Syria, all allies of the Soviet Union. Greek Premier Constantine Karamanis has arrived in Rome from Athens on the first leg of a three-nation tour to press his country's bid to join European common market. Greece is presently an associate member of the EEC and has asked for full membership by 1980. Heavy diving equipment has been dispatched to the Chesapeake Bay on America's east coast, the scene of Friday's collision, involving a Coast Guard training ship and an Argentinian coal freighter. The Coast Guard vessel sank in 11 fathoms of water. 1 fathom equals 6 feet. An analysis of Proposition 13 is being passed throughout the United States after it made its first success in California, shows that most people will pay much higher taxes next year than this year because of higher Social Security rates and inflation, despite the cuts. With these deficits, the bill makes a mockery of Proposition 13 as a nationwide movement for tax reduction in the United States. Full moon may help medical doctors to predict coronary. Doctors should make full moons on their calendars to better predict medical crises in their patients, according to a top researcher. We're suggesting that local practitioners realize that a lot of medical crises occur during full moon phases. Dr. Ralph W. Morris of the University of Illinois Medical Center reported to the news, the Washington Star. This ought to be, this agency should have been contacted by Dr. Ralph W. Morris of the University of Illinois Medical Center, because being that we're made of 98% water, much does occur that affects us. Morris studied 88 patients with a history of heart trouble and found that 64% of their attacks came during the full moon phase. Too high for coincidence. Policemen and firemen have known for a long time that a full moon makes people do strange things, said Morris, referring to one study which showed 100% increase in arson cases in New York City during periods of full moons. CIA agents have been ordered an execution of an American writer during Chile's bloody military coup 5 years ago. It's been brought to light in the Washington Times because he knew too much about U.S. involvement. A new book says, Charles Harmon, 31 of New York, was one of the two Americans among the thousands of people reported killed in the 1973 military coup that ousted Marxist President Salvador Allende. Harmon was taken from his house in Santiago, 17 September, and his body was officially identified October 18, just after the revolution of the 16th of September in 1973. The other dead American, Frank Teruggi, T-E-R-U-G-G-I, of Des Moines, Plains, Illinois, was detained in his home September 20, and his body was found October 2. Though Chile's military junta denies executing either author, Thomas Hauser, H-A-U-S-E-R, charges junta troops placed in power by U.S. CIA and our tax dollars, which pains my heart, arrested and killed Harmon with the knowledge of U.S. officials and their cooperation, and perhaps under the orders of the CIA intelligence directly, because Harmon had stumbled into signs Washington was definitely involved in the military takeover that unseated the democratically elected regime of Dr. Allende, a true, gentle-hearted Marxist socialist. Hauser said he hopes the book, The Execution of Charles Harmon, to be reprinted in part by Penthouse in November, will spark a congressional investigation of Harmon's death. Charles Harmon was killed because he knew too much, and this was done between the CIA and the local authorities. The book quotes Rafael Gonzalez, a former Chilean Army intelligence officer who fled Chile in 1978, as saying, Gonzalez is quoted as saying, he and an unknown American were in the office of Army Intelligence Chief General Augusto Lutz, L-U-T-Z. About 3 days after Harmon was detained, when Lutz said Harmon had to disappear. Obstetricians and maternity shops here said yesterday that more babies than usual are expected around the end of October, 9 months after a record snowstorm brought more than 15.2% inches on the city in less than 30 hours in Minneapolis. The blizzard confined thousands to their homes for at least 3 days. Pretty early snowstorm. No, it's Indianapolis, not Minneapolis. Trying to give you a cross section of the news. Some things that are lighter vein, and others that are not so light indeed. Alarming federal cancer study. Health Education and Welfare Secretary Joseph Califano made public the results of a still unreleased study last week on occupational cancer in what he probably, what was probably an understatement of eternity. He called the findings alarming. According to Califano, the new federal study had found that at least one of every five future cases of cancer in the USA would come from exposure to carcinogens on the jobs.